This is Gohan from Dragon Ball Z and Dragon Ball Super, and you're listening to the After Hours Nerds podcast.
I will say I was heated because I was listening to another podcast, and they just casually spoiled a big thing in Xenoblade Chronicles.
Really?
And I was like, are you fucking kidding me? And then I was like, you know what? It's a game from 2010, so maybe it's my own fault.
Yeah, it's only been out for 10 years, buddy.
Thanks for tuning in to episode 40 of the After Hour Nerd Podcast for the week of June 19th, 2020. I'm one of your hosts, Gags, joined by me, my co-host, TA. How you been?
What's up, buddy?
Let me ask you something right now. What is up every goddamn night with the fireworks? Who's shooting them off?
Seriously,
do you hear them?
Fuck them.
It's been like this for like 2 weeks. It's not even close to the 4th of July.
Here's the thing. I believe this, for as long as I can remember. Any fireworks before the 4th of July is the sacrilegious, most piece of shit thing you can do on the planet. There should be fireworks the day school lets out. Bless you.
Thank you. There
should be fireworks on the 4th of July, and then you can casually do them, I'd say, until school begins.
I will accept it today because it's Juneteenth, and that's a reason to celebrate.
Yes, absolutely.
But every goddamn day.
But these,
for the last 2 weeks.
But these sound like the fireworks you'd see at a show, like at McCoy or something. You can edit that out. But
no, it's fine.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, how do these people have these fucking powerful fireworks? Dude, I swear to God, it sounds like there's a gunshot outside my house every night.
No, gunshots don't echo. Fireworks.
Nah, dude. I'm telling you, it's too fucking loud. It sounds like my back right neighbor is doing it. Like that. It's too close to home, man.
I think it's a bunch of our neighbors doing it. Like, they all got together and just agreed on it.
Dude, the other night I went to Cello's to get some takeout, and like somebody lit it. It was like 5 o'clock, and somebody lit it right there. And it sounded like it was right behind the girl who was coming to give me the food, and she was like, "Oh, Jesus Christ, that scared me." I was like, "She was like, yeah, I'm used to it now." Though they've been doing
I'd rather have it at 5 o'clock than when I'm trying to go to bed. I swear to God, it's like they time it for me to go to bed.
But like, have you checked the Facebook groups for all this shit? And they're always like, they took away our freedom and our fun this year, so we gotta light up fireworks every night.
But it's not close to July 4th.
That's what I'm saying. They're like, we can't do anything fun this summer. Let us just move fireworks.
I'm having plenty of fun. What have you been up to this week?
All right, man.
A fucking smorgasbord, it looks like.
I've done a few things. So first off, by the way, last week when I said it, I finished Middle Ditch and Schwartz's comedy episodes. There's only three of them. Improv was the word I was looking for.
You texted me through the week, and I was like, "What the fuck are you talking about?"
I kept saying sketch comedy, but I meant improv.
They're technically the same thing.
No, they're not.
Just sketch comedy, improv, you set up their sketch for them, and they do it.
No. Yeah, but like improv is on the spot with very little information.
Right, and I understand you can set up a sketch and play the sketch out, but for what they're doing, it's the same shit.
The third one was hilarious. I finally saw Child's Play 2019.
Is it good? How does
It's honestly fantastic.
What's her name? Aubrey Plaza do?
See, she's lost in the film. She's barely in it.
Really?
To me, I kind of like only for the fact that in the first movie, like original movie, it's even though Andy's the main character, like the boy, it's really the mom because you're seeing it happen through her eyes, is her son going insane and killing people at age six? But this one, it's
like
him.
The Omen.
Exactly. It's like him getting stalked by Chucky, and like I will admit his design looked like hilarious when you first see it.
It's
but then he kind of
Mark Hamill, right?
His voice. Oh, Mark Hamill kills it.
He does creepy really good.
He does creepy so good. The best line in the whole film is
Are you gonna spoil it?
I won't say it. It's fine. It's almost like they took what was good about the first one and the one good idea about the very very last one that just came out, The Curse of Chucky, and then made one film about it. And they kind of like modernized it, and it was good.
This is a total reboot, though, right?
Yeah, it's a remake.
Okay,
it's a remake of the original. They modernized it, but they borrowed something from the last movie, which to me is a scary thing that could happen to Chucky.
Yeah.
And they combined it into one good thing, and I think they made it. I think it was a pretty good film.
You like horror though a lot.
I do like horror. Fucking What are you up to, buddy?
I have played a good amount of Xenoblade Chronicles.
See, that's the only thing you've done this week.
I've had a pretty long week other than today. Today was pretty good, but Xenoblade Chronicles, I've finally started getting through the story. I'm on chapter 7. I looked it up. There's 17 chapters.
Okay.
So I'm
that's not bad. I mean, like,
fair amount.
Remake 7 remake had 18. So yep. Like, you're that's good progress.
I love being.
How many hours are you in?
I think I'm like 12 or 13.
Oh, that's not bad.
And then the issue is, even after I beat the game, they have the epilogue story that I've heard is another 25 hours.
Oh, there you go. You're hooked.
Yeah. I love being in the Xenoblade Chronicles world. I love the idea of both games, since they're in the same universe.
So, is 2 like in the future or in the past?
So, apparently something happened in 2 that connects them together, and I never knew it because I've never played 1.
Yeah, exactly.
So, when I get there, apparently it blew everyone's mind.
Yeah.
How they're connected.
So,
blow up in my mind because... you can tell they're connected in the fact that you fight the same enemies. It's like the Final Fantasy where you see the same like monsters in the field. Yeah. Even like some of the giant, like remember the level 80 gorilla?
Yeah.
I've already seen him again. I run away every time.
Dick.
But I love the idea of like in both games, you know, you're just like these little humans who exist on a larger being or like they call them titans.
Yeah.
So I love that. I've gotten to the part where the old Monado user, Dunbar, has rejoined the party.
Okay.
But he can only use... One of his arms is basically dead because of when he used the Monado. Because
he was whacking off way too much?
100%. Well, you'd think he'd be stronger.
He overdid it. You know, like when
my father
get so
always,
strong, you get so weak. You know what I mean?
My father always told me, keep playing with it and you'll lose it. So I guess that's what happened to him.
Like too much practice makes way too much perfect?
But... He's like a one-armed katana user.
So he's kind of like Orin from like 10. You know, he's always carrying like this.
It's like a small blade, but it's down here.
Okay. But you know what I mean? He's got his arm like this just for show.
And at that time, I already had, obviously, you can't take Shulk out because he's the main character.
Yeah.
You have a tank character named Ryan who is exactly a tank. He has a ton of health, ton of defense.
Yep.
I had the healer already, Sharla, and she's a sniper.
Okay.
So when I got him, I was like, he's kind of useless. Plus, I've seen so much One Piece. I know, you want 3 swords, not 1. But, yo, he's so broken.
Really?
So I put him in the party just to see what would happen. And he has the lowest HP. And to my knowledge, he's another tank.
But he has this, does he have, some secret, high
super high agility to the point where every time you see an opponent attack him, it just says miss. Miss. he's so broken. But I have 2 tanks in my party right now. I never lose health. I use Shulk as the DPS guy.
Yeah,
it's ridiculous. I'm having a lot of fun with it. I've gotten to a part where basically throughout the entire world there's different colonies.
Yeah.
So at one point in the game you get to a colony that's been devastated.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I'm doing right now is just rebuilding that colony, which is apparently just a really long, huge side quest that gives you benefits the more you do.
Yeah, that kind of reminds me of Bravely Default. Remember, your hometown gets, burnt to ashes?
Happens.
Yep. You send, reinforcements to it, and then you can eventually get, shit from it again.
Yep. Or Breath of the Wild, what's that, Travis Town or whatever?
Yeah.
Remember the one you can rebuild in the middle?
Yeah. You have to find, you have to find the crafter. You have to find the fucking...
Everyone. Yeah, give them all the... Yep.
From each different race, too.
Oh, and then... we were saying, I finished, finally, My Hero Academia Season 4.
Thank God.
Yeah.
I've been wanting to talk to you about that forever.
I'll tell you, I hated Endeavor this whole time. I've never liked him.
He sucks.
But I'll tell you what, man. Those
last, two episodes,
I was like, fuck. Now I care about this asshole.
He was doing some serious soul searching. You're like, all right, I can respect that. And then,
I still think he's a piece of shit for what he did to his family. But
yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
But now he's finally, before he was, he never he never accepted that he did bad things.
Yeah.
Now he finally feels
guilty. Yeah, he definitely is I fucked up.
He's ready to try and redeem himself, and he totally fucking does.
The other thing is, the only one thing I wish is because even throughout the entire series, he's always reached out to his son Shoto trying to fix the relationship.
Yeah.
You never see him do that with the other kids that he has or the wife, even though the wife is he's been here multiple times and gave me flowers. Yeah. It's the doctors who won't let him see me.
Yeah.
I would love to at least see him try with those kids too.
I wonder if in his head, he's I got to reconnect with him first because I fucked him up.
I don't know. He refused to even acknowledge the other kids.
I know, but I'm saying maybe if he can fix the relationship with him, then he can fix them with the rest.
Yeah.
But Shoto got it the worst because his mom literally threw hot steaming fucking water in his face and fucked up his face.
I will say, like, one of the things My Hero Academia does better than most anime is the fact that it goes so into depth with the, like, other characters. Like, I don't even consider them side characters.
They're all main characters now, but, like, in the beginning, they were, like, you know, like, Deku.
Yep.
And then, what's his fucking name?
Because even Deku, like, he doesn't get that main character bullshit where he's going to win every time. Like, he does lose, like, a good amount.
No, but
need to be saved by someone else all the time.
It's funny, like, we say that, but, like, I've seen so many people, like, oh, he's one of the worst anime protagonists of all time. He's just another one of those shonen bullshit guys. And
which I don't agree with. No. Because he gets his ass handed to him multiple times. And to the point where he's like, I have to learn how to deal with this. The only thing is, the amount of time he cries is ridiculous.
But you know what it is, though? He always pulls through in a pinch when it counts. Like, the dude, like, when he protected the kid in season 2... where he went, like, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
That was... He should have been dead. Like, that...
Kid popped back up, too.
I know. He should have been fucking dead. Against that guy, he should have been fucking dead.
He'll be all
right. Deku scrubbed that right then and there. I started Grandia.
I want to hear about this.
Okay. So...
How far are you?
I'm, like, 7 hours in.
All right, so a decent amount.
I got... So, like, the game starts, and... basically, like, you know, your dad was an adventurer, so you're 14 years old, you want to be an adventurer, because, like, the game is so anime.
Yep.
I'm telling you, it's so anime to the point it's not even funny. I love it. Like, it's good aesthetic. You're in, like, a shit town. You have a friend who's 8 named Sue. She's kind of like your adoptive sister type.
Mm-hmm.
You guys go to the ruins near your town, which you're not supposed to go to. You find the military forces. They're looking for something. You find the fucking thing instead, and he's like, all right, I'm going to go have an adventure. And his mom's like, I don't know. And then he leaves on a boat.
At 14? With an 8-year-old?
No, he tried to leave her behind. He tried to do the right thing and leave her behind. He's like, no, it's going to be dangerous. So she sneaks on the fucking boat. You have to... And then, like, the sailors on the boat are like, ah, well, because she's a stowaway, we got to throw her overboard. Like, that's, like, the rule.
Yeah, I would.
So he's like, no.
That's extra weight in a boat. When you calculate how long you're supposed to get there, you don't... So all,
like,
the weight.
They're like, the only way we can appease the water gods is if we make you guys apprentice sailors. The first minigame you do is you fucking swab the deck, man.
Yeah, that makes sense.
You meet your third party member, Fina, who's a fucking badass. I thought she was, like, 19 or 20. Her and the main guy have a weird flirtation. She's only 15, but she's, like,
yeah, that makes sense. That's how it always works.
She's one of those characters that's like, this is no time for kid talk, man. Like, this is real. Like, people are gonna die. And he's like, I'm an adventurer. I'm 14. I know what I'm doing. It's a sprite game.
Are you fighting as a 14-year-old?
Yes.
This is weird.
Dude, I fucking love it. And, like, it's kind of, the stats are kind of intricate because, like, there's weapon levels and magic levels. It's almost like Final Fantasy 2 or... I'm trying to think of what other, almost like an MMORPG, like RuneScape or something, you know, like you have, like, different stats for different weapons you had.
Oh, okay, like, but, proficiency, so,
like,
levels.
Yeah, proficiencies, almost. Like sword.
Yeah, there's a lot of games have that kind of thing. Like Fire Emblem.
Yeah, okay, but at each level up, certain stats will only increase depending on what weapon you're using.
Oh, okay.
So, like, your main guy's sword, if he's using a sword, his HP and his vitality will increase. If he's using a mace... his strength and his
oh, I like this. This is different.
And
okay.
His HP will increase. And if he's using a hatchet or an axe, his strength and his...
So you got to use a weapon.
So basically, then each weapon has a... You learn a different move depending on what proficiency level you're at. So you constantly want to keep each thing moving at the same time. Because, like, certain skills you won't learn until you get, like, level 10 mace, level 10 axe, then level 20 sword, level 20 mace, level 20... You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you got to constantly keep doing... And this is for every character.
Right.
So, like, it's cool, like... Even, like, the characters...
How many people do you get in your party at a time?
Here's the thing. I think there will be a fourth, but I don't know yet.
So it's not, like, Tactics where you get, like, full parties in this that sense, but it's...
It seems
the battle system similar, though?
The battle system is weird, because, like...
Is it grid-based?
No, it's not grid. You're in a square, like, almost like a diorama box.
Yep.
But... The enemies and you will start on random parts in the screen depending on if you get ambushed or if you get the first strike.
Mm-hmm.
So you get a little bar at the bottom, and it gradually increases till you get to put in your command, and then...
Are they just walking around randomly, too?
But, like, so you have a move stat. So it helps. It calculates how your characters can move freely. But it's weird because, like... my sword guy, if he goes to attack, right, and I have a girl with a bow... If he attacks and pushes the enemy out of the way, and
you'll miss.
The girl will miss the first attack.
Can you
with the
shoot
bow.
Your own guy, too?
No, that you can't do, okay. Which, thank fucking God, because that would make it so much harder.
Yeah.
But,
This battle system actually intrigues me.
It's cool is, like, you know, if you're fast enough, you can counter all the enemy's attacks before they get to do it, and, like, then their turn resets.
Yeah.
But they can do that shit to you, too. Yeah, so it's all about placement and, like, kind of... It's fun. I'm having a lot. And, like, I really enjoy...
Yeah, because it's not goddamn fucking Final Fantasy.
Relax. I'm having fun.
Final Fantasy. I'm so glad. This is, again, the first time in weeks. In weeks, I've given a shit about what you're actually playing.
One of the coolest things, usually in these types of games, when you level up with your magic abilities, you don't get the reward of a new ability until after the fight's over.
So if you level up during the fight, you can get that ability
right fucking there.
Oh, that's different,
too.
So
I was fighting a boss, one of the first boss I get with the third girl. She's the first character with magic that you get. She has fire magic. It's already level 3, and I didn't even check her move list, but her next big strong magic...
Are you playing as all three of them at the same time?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it's almost like a traditional RPG where, like, you
turn-based, but they're moving freely.
Yeah, it's weird.
Yep.
It's a fun hybrid. So
it's kind of like Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, exactly. Chrono Trigger is a perfect way to describe it.
Yep.
Perfect way to describe it. But they're moving a little bit, and it's not it's not like a 2D. It's like 2.5D.
Well, because Chrono Trigger's like that, too, where they're almost like... tilted axis and they move freely, but that's more like time based where you want to use your slash when one guy uses fire attack.
Exactly, because they'll combine.
Yeah.
So, like, there are certain things like that about it too.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely into this. Sorry.
Randy is fun. I'm having a good time.
I bought it too. I haven't tried it yet. Did you get it on the sale? Is that why you grabbed it?
Yeah.
Because it was what, $20 or something?
Yeah. And plus I didn't realize it was for two games. So really, it's like $10 a game.
Yeah. Yeah, and I heard the second one's way better.
I know everyone says they love. So, like, so far, I've seen people say they got stuck in the first game somewhere, and then they really enjoyed the second game. So, I'm looking forward to both.
Yeah, I'm actually, like, hearing you talk about it gets me excited to try it. I won't be getting into it for a while, I already know that, but, like, now it's higher on the priority list if you like it that much. Podcast poll for the week. With online streaming events replacing E3 this year, do you still see this as a future, or do you think an actual E3 convention is needed? I put, we need an E3 convention, online streaming events, whatever Keeley wants, and I don't even know what's going on.
I voted for whatever Keeley wants.
If I could vote, that's what I would have voted for. Yeah. Because that dude just, like, apparently runs gaming, everything.
He is gaming.
He got 17% of the votes, so we're not the only ones.
I feel bad. I'm saying I feel good I contributed to that.
Yeah, I don't even know what's going on. Got 10%, which honestly is how I feel at times with everything.
I know.
People prefer, by numbers, 50%, they just want the online streaming event. Surprises me a little bit.
Yeah.
But the more I hear, like, people say it, like, I get it, too.
Yeah, I know. You know, you take a more simplistic approach. You don't have to worry about getting out there and, like, doing it. You know what I mean? They just present the information to you, and you can take what you want with that.
But even, like, some places that do E3 really just bring a trailer they can post online. Let's take a short little break and we'll get to the news. We got a ton to cover this week.
All right, and we're back with the news. AT&T reportedly looking to sell Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment. Story by Rebecca Valentine on GameIndustry.biz. AT&T is reportedly in talks to sell gaming division Warner Bros. Interactive Entertainment in a deal that may be worth around $4 billion. Jesus fucking Christ.
We should pitch our money together and grab them.
All the money we made from this podcast? We got it.
We get 3 iced coffees.
According to the CNBC, potential buyers include Take-Two Interactive, Electronic Arts, and Activision Blizzard, though nothing has been confirmed. WBIE currently owns a number of studios, including TT Games, Rocksteady Studios, NetherRealm Studios, Monolith Productions, Avalanche Software, and WB Games Boston, Montreal, New York, San Diego, and San Francisco, as well as the Portkey Games publishing label for games set in the Harry Potter universe. Jesus Christ.
Yeah, they got a lot.
Yeah, you know, share much? It also acquired mobile games communications platform PlexChat in 2018. The division's output includes franchises such as Middle-Earth, Mortal Kombat, and Scribblenauts series, as well as gaming properties that would presumably remain in WB's possession in the event of a sale, such as Batman Arkham, Lego games connected to the Lego Movie, and Harry Potter. It also partnered with IO Interactive last year for an unspecified multi-IP deal, though it does not appear to be publishing IO's Hitman 3.
You know who needs to buy them? Who? And, like, ASAP?
Who?
Microsoft.
Yeah.
Seriously, I do not want to wake up in a world where I read a headline that says Sony has purchased WB Games. Could you imagine that? Like, they already have all of the exclusives.
I know.
At least now you can say, all right, Sony has Street Fighter.
Yeah.
Great. Microsoft has Mortal Kombat.
I know. It would literally be like the dividing war. You know what I mean?
Sony has Spider-Man. Great. Microsoft has Batman. Like, these are counteractive things. I swear to God, if I wake up and see Sony purchase them.
You know Sony right now is going to flash their
they
big,
need to NBA veto trade this right now. I'm not even kidding. Because, like, if Microsoft isn't on the phone right now, I will be so pissed.
Do you think Microsoft's like, do you think we should do it?
Microsoft went on that crazy spree last year. Remember they were buying everything?
Yeah.
If this was for sale, they have more than $4 billion. Like, buy them.
They should just be like, hey, Bill, you know, I know it's been a while. I know you cut, you know, I know we parted ways, but do you got $4 billion you won't happen to give us?
Isn't this, like, more expensive than what Disney paid for Star Wars?
Yeah, I think so.
Pretty sure they paid $1 billion for Star Wars.
Yeah, so they're paying four times that, man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine having $4 billion to spend?
Oh, Microsoft easily does.
No, I'm saying, can you imagine? You imagine having $4 billion to spend.
If I had $4 billion to spend, I wouldn't be doing this fucking podcast with you right now, all right?
Wow.
I'd be in, like, Barbados or something, somewhere where Corona doesn't exist and just be living my life.
Dude, Corona exists everywhere.
Not when you have $4 billion.
Hey, man, I'm sure Bill Gates is wearing his mask right now.
EA Play Live 2020, everything announced and revealed. This rundown is by Adam Bankhurst at IGN.com. EA Play Live 2020 is EA's chance to show off all its upcoming games to the world, and we are here to recap each and every announcement, from Star Wars Squadrons gameplay reveal to a glimpse of next-gen versions of Dragon Age, Battlefield, and Need for Speed, to Apex Legends being released on Steam and Switch this fall, to a new skate game. We've gathered each announcement below. Also hosted by Kinda Funny's Greg Miller. I think he did a way better job this year than the previous year, and he was definitely under tougher circumstances by being in a room alone trying to host this thing. So I think he did a hell of a job. Let's give our little thoughts with each bubble. Let's not read it all and then Apex Legends will be heading to Steam and Nintendo Switch later this fall, alongside full crossplay with PlayStation 4, Xbox One, PC. Respawn Entertainment explained Lost Treasures, the latest collection event headed to Apex Legends, arriving on June 23rd, 2020, so next week. Crossplay has been, like, the number one request for this.
And
it's become the new norm.
No, I know.
Which is great.
It's great, but it's weird.
Yeah, it is.
It's like, you know, you're partnering, you know, you're just
But me
playing.
And you could actually play now. No, free to play, too.
I know that. But, like, dude, I'm terrible at these games. You know that.
Yeah.
You bet. I'm pretty sure my average KD in every single shooter we've ever played is 0.5.
That's pretty good. 50-50, right?
I get half a kill every 50-50. Death.
50-50.
I pop a guy in the legs every death.
There's no... I can't picture a world where this runs any good on a Nintendo Switch.
You don't think it's going to run good on the Switch?
No. Fortnite is already having a tough time. That's more cartoony. Yeah. It's gotten to the point, Fortnite, if you play on a Nintendo Switch, puts you with mobile gamers instead of, like, other consoles.
Yeah, because of the lag time.
Yeah, the fidelity is easier for them. EA announced that The Sims 4 base game and packs are now available on Steam. Yo, when they played this trailer, I didn't realize how much fucking shit you could do in Sims. They showed wizards, monsters. Yeah, they were
what
at like...
What Sims package is this?
There was so much more. It didn't look like you were tied to, like, your house anymore. It looked like it was just like an MMO. I've been out of the Sims world for way too long, apparently.
Dude, the last time I've seen the Sims was my girlfriend playing The Sims 3 on our laptop in 2015.
Yeah, it's
been
a while.
You know, and she was like, you know, just make Sims of us, you know, like, live in our house. It's fun. Jesus, fuck. If she can make me a goddamn wizard.
Yeah, they were showing people, like, wizard battle.
I want to learn fucking fire magic in The Sims.
It honestly looked like a scene out of Harry Potter. Hazelight's Jose Ferris announced It Takes Two, the studio's next game following Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, and A Way Out. It is co-op action-adventure platformer that will blow your fucking mind away. That's what they said.
I better hope so, man.
It looked cool. This is the dude who was like, fuck the Oscars at the Game Awards. he's nuts, but in the best way possible.
Yeah. We need characters like him.
Yeah, yeah. The studio behind Fee, Zonk Games, announced Lost in Random, a game that takes place in a world of random. A Dark Kingdom. Very original. A Dark Kingdom where every citizen's future is determined by a roll of roll of a dice.
By the way, that was some D. Weiland comedy right there.
It looked like a Tim Burton animated film come to life.
Oh God.
So that was like the only thing that like, actually intrigued me.
Like, because it just like what could possibly happen?
No, like they're the creepy claymation looking things.
Oh, okay.
Like Nightmare Before Christmas looking. It very much looked like that. Next up was the Rocket Arena, the competitive third-person 3v3 hero shooter that was all about using rockets to literally blow up the competition. Will be released on July 14th.
It's Rocket League with guns.
Yeah, and you're
just taking a game that we already love and improving on it in all the best ways.
It looked like looked more like Overwatch to me.
Overwatch and Twisted Metal combined.
Yeah, that's a pretty good way to say it. It's. I feel like the market's going to get saturated on these like games that rely heavily on like the season passes.
Yeah.
And it's just arena battles.
Any way to get money, man.
Yeah, and that's unfortunately the way it's going for a lot of these companies. EA Motive revealed gameplay of its upcoming game, Star Wars Squadrons, a game that takes place after Star Wars: The Return of the Jedi.
Is from what I've heard somebody say, this is just a space shooter, right?
It's a dogfighter, yeah.
Do we really need another goddamn dogfighter game from Star Wars?
I guess. Like, when was the last one that came out?
Yeah, but like I'm saying, like, do you ever, like, when you think of a Star Wars game and what you want to do in a Star Wars game.
No, I agree. 100%.
Is dogfighting the thing you want to do the
most?
But
even if I had a game where it was like, I don't even know what a fucking aircraft is called nowadays, but like, if that was all I did and played it, I wouldn't want that.
That's what I mean.
But I'm sure there's a market for it. Like, people are excited for it for sure. The campaign will have players assuming the role of both a New Republic pilot and an Imperial fighter pilot as part of the Vanguard and Titan squadrons, respectively.
Pew, 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 pew.
Yeah, the gameplay did look nuts, but still, they move so fast in those games, I can never keep up.
Yeah.
The multiplayer will include modes like Dogfight, an all-out 5v5 battle, and the signature mode Fleet Battles, releases October 2nd for $39.99.
From what you, like, I know you just said, like, you know, it kind of looked cool. Would you pay $40 for it?
Yeah. It easily looked $40 worth.
Okay.
The actual thing that does intrigue me is the story.
Just because it's like...
Well, you're playing both sides at the same time.
So, like,
one of them are going to die, for sure. Like, right. There's no way they both live.
Imagine it just ends with both of them shooting each other's ships at the same time.
God.
Some fucking slow-mo movie shit.
Star Wars games in general never get me, though. I don't know. I don't know why. Everyone loved to seem... to love the last one, and I'm just like, eh.
What, Battlefield 2?
No, the Fall...
Oh,
Jedi Fallen Order?
Right, yeah, Fallen Order, yeah.
I don't know. It's just like Dark Souls of Star Wars, I'm all set.
I can't even get rid of... I just kind of remember when each one had personality. You know, like, there was Battlefront, like the original Battlefront,
yeah,
and Battlefront 2,
yeah.
Which, you know, Stormtrooper battling, it was fucking great. But you had Knights of the Old Republic series, too, so it was all Jedi shit. Fighting Sith Lords, like things you want to do in Star Wars.
Well, that's what the last one was.
No, but I'm saying, but without like Dark Souls like control.
Yeah, I don't know. The last one has very high grade where I'm like, I don't want to talk shit about it because I haven't touched it.
But like,
I won't
fix
touch
the bugginess?
It. Yeah, I mean, it's had a ton of updates since. Right. EA Sports gave fans a look at Madden 21 and FIFA 21 in action. They showed it on like their next gen hardware. Cool. It's exactly what you think it's going to be?
Dude, honestly...
It showed Tom Brady in a Buccaneers jersey
really,
for way too long.
I really stopped caring about Madden games after, like, Madden 15, because, like, it got to a point for me where I feel like every passing control is broken. I don't remember which one I played. It was, like, 15 or 16 with somebody. I could not throw a single pass without getting picked.
Yeah, you're trash, though.
Couldn't throw... Yeah, but, dude, in every other game, I can throw Hail Marys all game long, and every
That's
single one connect.
That's not possible in real life.
But it's a video game. I don't give a shit if it's been in real life.
But it's a sim. It's not like...
Yeah, but, like...
Blitz the league.
Yeah, but...
We're all cracking each other's skulls.
Yeah, but I fucking love, like, 2K5, man.
EA gave viewers around the world a glimpse of what games as Dragon Age, Battlefield, Need for Speed, and a new project by EA Motive will look like running on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series 5. Or Xbox Series X and high-end PCs. This was like the worst part of the presentation, I thought. When you're streaming footage, you know, it's buffering and it's not showing like the highest fidelity. It's not going to look great and it's not going to convince anyone to be like, oh, this is beautiful. This is what I need to do. Cuz Perry and Duran Chung announced that a new skate game is really early in development. This was like the biggest announcement of the night.
So many people are hyped for Skate.
Did you play Skate at all?
I played the first Skate. I really didn't care for it.
I guess I just never cared about skateboarding games either. I did get heavily into Tony Hawk. I wonder how much like that pressured them to be like, yo, we need a Tony Hawk game.
Probably.
especially because they were like, it's early in development, so it's not coming out anytime close this year. In fact, you can already guarantee it's a next-gen game, you know, like, especially they're coming out at the end of the year. And then at the very end, EA announced that 7 games will be released on Nintendo Switch this year. EA has only discussed Burnout Paradise and Apex Legends, but expect more announcements in the future. So 5 more games this year from EA on the Nintendo Switch. That's just called we're super fucking late to the party. Seriously? Like, I couldn't name that many EA games on the Nintendo Switch.
I couldn't. I probably
they have FIFA, and they do like a legacy title bullshit. They don't even release a new game. It's just an update now.
Yeah.
I will say EA's stream event is the best I've seen from a streamed event. The way they did it, the flow of it
just felt good.
It felt good. Like when Microsoft did the third party event,
it like didn't feel like you were overwhelmed. But
they had like assholes like us sitting in their kitchen recording off the, like their web camera, and you were like, "Yo, you're Microsoft. You're telling me you couldn't get this guy a camera to do a, like a professional like? I'm here to show you this game." You know what I mean? Like, even Sony had, I don't know if they're CGI, I don't know what's going on, but it's still, they had such a good flow. They even had certain people animated talking in it.
Really?
Yeah, no, they did such a great job with it.
Man, you know, they probably could afford to do all that nice stuff from all the money they've robbed us in fucking loot boxes.
Yeah, well, and that was a big thing is, I didn't hear much about loot boxes for a lot of games they announced, so I hope they learned their lesson.
Come on, man.
Yeah, money makes the world go around. A lot of their announcements did not touch me, but I'm not like, that sucks because nothing touched me. They had a lot of stuff that a lot of other people are excited for.
All it really does is just give you room to be impressed later on, hopefully. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you go low expectations, and then
life's all about managing expectations.
Yes. All right, Nintendo held a Pokemon Presents live stream event on Wednesday, June 17th. This is from Tom Phillips from Eurogamer.net. Pokemon Presents live stream had a flurry of announcements, most notably the return of Pokemon Snap after a 20-year hiatus. New Pokemon Snap, as it's called, is in the works for Nintendo Switch and will offer familiar gameplay with lots of recent Pokemon species. Someone said this, and I hope it's true. I hope you have to retroactively go back and now rename the other one Old Pokemon Snap.
Dude, it's just like when, like,
just add it to, like, a normal fucking person.
Like, how do you go from Rocky 5 to Rocky Balboa? You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, that's Rambo 3 to Rambo.
20-year hiatus, and you could have called it Pokemon Snap. No one would have got it confused between the two. You know, like, you didn't have to throw that in.
Or they could have just said Pokemon Snap Remake. We all like
Remake. It's not a remake, though.
But I'm, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sorry. Pokemon Snap Reboot.
Yeah, well, you call it Remake. That's a Square Enix thing where we just tack that on, apparently, for anything.
But hey, man, it gets people to buy your game.
It gets the people going. On a completely different note, Pokemon Smile is a newly announced smartphone app to encourage kids to brush their teeth. Pokemon Cafe Mix is another new announcement. It's a free-to-play puzzle game coming soon to Switch and smartphones where you match Pokemon icons to run your cafe business, level up to gain new staff Pokemon for your cafe with new abilities, and to decorate it further.
Okay, I want Pokemon to help me with my business. I don't want Pokemon to run my business completely because they're Pokemon, man.
I would argue there's definitely certain Pokemon out there that are smarter than you. Most psychic type, for sure.
But can they talk?
There's a decent amount of them that the somehow talk. The only psychic
Pokemon that I know that can talk, like talk, is Mew.
The Slowking or whatever in that the movie.
Yeah, okay. So the non-canon Slowking.
They're all canon, all right? other announcements was Pokemon Go is getting Mega Evolutions.
Oh, fantastic.
Mythical Pokemon, Go. Pokemon
Vic- What is that?
Victini. Hey, that's still popular, dude. That's still...
Where?
I'm not kidding. That's still a big deal.
But Pokemon where? Go? I'm saying where.
Where what?
Where is it popular still?
In there's still like a large Pokemon Go community. I still get texts from a mutual friend just sending us the Pokemon he catches.
Really?
Yeah.
Jeez.
It's still like one of the top grossing apps.
I still have the app, but like I haven't opened it in like I think in 2 years.
Yeah, I'm telling you, we don't care. Also, we're locked in this quarantine, but like it's still a big deal. They keep adding stuff people care about. Like we could battle each other.
Yeah.
It took them 3 years, which it should have been there from the go, but still, Pokemon Go.
Technology wasn't there yet, man.
Glaring, far-fetched, and the biggest announcement was Pokemon Company's next big project is to be unveiled during a live stream next week on Wednesday, June 24th. What do you think their next big project in the works is? If you had guessed.
It's definitely not a new game.
It has to be a new game, I think.
No, but I'm saying like it's not like a mainstream title. It's got to be one of the side projects. It's
you think so?
It's got.
I think
be,
it is a main.
I. There's no way.
So what I mean by mainline, I'm thinking either finally the Diamond and Pearl remake.
Oh, okay. I wasn't thinking like that. I meant like new IP. Like there was like we just had Sword and Shield, but whatever.
Well, Sword and Shield came out last year.
Yeah, but still, it's only a year.
Think about it. They release a new Pokemon game every year almost.
Yeah, but like, I'm,
and there's no third version of this
but
one.
But gen to gen, they haven't done it.
No, that's
year.
Why I think it is a remake.
That's what I mean.
Because they usually they'll do like one new gen, then they'll do the like third version.
Yeah.
Then we get the remake.
Everyone keeps saying they're thinking it's gonna be the Johto region remake.
That's what I think too. But of the Let's Go version.
Ooh.
That's what I'm thinking. So I'm thinking it's either Diamond and Pearl.
Yeah.
Because that would technically be the next remake they're
yeah,
at.
Yeah, it would make sense.
Or the Pokemon Let's Go version of the Johto region. Because that was super successful.
Yeah.
14 million copies or something.
Definitely made their money back.
A lot of people have been saying for a while Pokken Tournament 2 is in the works.
Really?
I don't believe that. I have Pokken Tournament 1 on the Switch.
Yeah.
Fantastic game. It's great. But I don't think it has big enough audience to get a sequel.
Really?
I think
you're exactly why they would do it.
Yeah, you're right. But I could see another, fucking spinoff, like you're saying, like a brand new one.
Like it's definitely not a new gen game, but it's definitely something like a remake, like you said in the works, or even just some random like new like.
It's gonna be some bullshit.
Maybe just some new side project they want to do in the universe, like like something like a mystery dungeon, but not exactly.
It could
a mystery
be another
dungeon,
mystery
you know
dungeon
I mean?
For all we know. Also announced today. That Monday 6/22, a 35-minute live stream, Mr. Sakurai presents in Arms Fighter. So we'll finally get to see.
Do
who
we
the
need
new
35 minutes for him?
Yo,
to present
it's ridiculous.
It
the even like when Terry Bogard joined, he had like a 45-minute, like because he just goes over the history of it.
Yeah.
Even for the Byleth.
But like how much history is there in an Arms character?
I know they're only like 2 or 3 years old now.
And like even so, like it's a character who has like a minimal backstory because they just have fucking weird arms.
No, there is apparently like a crazy backstory to why they have the arms and everything.
Really?
If you get into the mythos of it, it's wild.
Like there's arms mythos.
Yeah, yeah. No, as crazy as it is, the Arms game itself, is great.
No, I know. I never.
I think last week I was telling you Paper Mario, it might be the best looking game I've ever
seen.
This is really damn close because of the art style.
Oh, yeah, no, I agree with you. I remember, like what a game to lead into the Switch
with. Yeah,
totally, like, worth, like, you know how, like, there's some, like, there's nothing games, like, when a system launches and you're like, oh, it was just a remnant?
Yeah. Like, it's kind of like that, but
No, but, like, I think all of the Switch's early titles, like they're fun party games.
Yeah, they hit pretty hard, though.
Like, Snipperclips was great.
Yep.
Arms was fantastic.
Splatoon 2 is still pretty big in the
still
community.
Still pretty big. Like you had Mario Kart and you had fucking Paper the latest Mario game that came out. I'm saying the one that came out for the Switch.
Odyssey.
Like,
yep.
So many games right off the back to really cement.
Yeah,
the
they
system.
Had a lot of good. They had a great run year
that
one.
Was
I'll
a,
say,
dude, great
with Breath of the Wild. It started off.
Great run, man.
I will say that I understand.
Like Nintendo fanboy.
I understand everyone's super excited for Pokemon Snap. I don't give a flying fuck about Pokemon Snap.
I know. I've never even played the original.
You've never played the original?
I don't.
I played it for hours. I used to be obsessed with it.
And you're like, I'm going to get on 150, and you got a 63, and you're like, no.
Yeah, well, not only that, it literally takes, I want
to
say
is
probably.
Is Mew like the last Pokemon you're supposed to try and catch?
Yo, so you don't catch Pokemon in the game.
No, you know what I mean. Catch a picture of.
First off, the last level is just a level of you and Mew flying around. Nothing. It's basically an on-the-rails shooter. That's how the game is.
Yeah, yeah.
But the last level is just you and Mew
actually,
flying around.
You know what? I think maybe I did play Pokemon Snap at one of a kid I used to hang out with, like a sleepover.
Yep.
But like, I played it for like 5 minutes, and I was like, yeah, I'd rather play a real Pokemon.
That's literally
game.
It, though. That's the problem with the game is once you play it for 5 minutes, you've played the entirety of the game.
Yeah.
I understand it's like, oh, well, if you hit this Pokemon with an apple, sometimes he falls in the lava and he evolves, and then he jumps out as the evolution. Form you take a photo
I don't
and then
give
you get
a fuck.
Exactly. It's never been fun to me. It to me it's a better idea than it is an actual game.
Yeah.
It's just like the only thing I will say that would be cool.
I would love if that was a character in the show who was like who had to get the perfect picture.
Todd Snap. Some respect on his name.
Is that a character?
That's the name of the main character, Todd Snap.
Who the fuck is Todd? Like in the game?
Yeah.
No, but I'm saying like in the show.
Yeah.
I'm saying like I would have loved if that was a character from the show.
Oh yeah. The it's already been like put up for pre-order in certain places. $59.99. I can't, $60 for this game. I'm gonna fight someone. There's no way. Like, that can't be true. The only thing that would be cool
fight someone.
Is the gyro controls. If you can play this with the gyro controls, as if it's like,
as if you're actually taking the picture, like, yeah, a camera, like a camera, that would be cool.
That is the only thing where it's.
Do you? But see, that would make sense. Do you think they're gonna do that?
100%. Nintendo's always about wacky, weird. Yeah. In fact, they have the VR kit. If they make a VR, you can play Smash Bros. In VR. You can play Breath of the Wild in VR.
Really?
Yeah, they updated them to put VR support.
Okay, I can understand playing Breath of the Wild in VR. That would be an amazing experience. But why Smash?
No, it is.
But why Smash Brothers?
Smash Brothers, you can only play like one-on-one VR. It is a weird. I've done it because I have the. It's the cardboard. You know the Labo kit. That's the VR kit.
Oh my! I don't even know what you're talking about.
It is weird. But it works really well because it like layers the battlefield and everything. It's so weird. I don't like it, like to actually play like
yeah,
in a real sense. But like visually, it looks cool. Playing Breath of the Wild VR, you're gonna throw up.
Blows your fucking butt like no, like gliding.
No, it's just like it gives me a headache. It really? It's motion controls.
There's that fucking firework.
I'm telling you, man. I don't know what is going on with these fireworks. 35 minutes though. You're right for one character.
Why?
But like, I would be all right if it was a character who had like a serious mythos, like
Terry Bogard is like
he's been around for like 20 years. Yeah, like obviously it makes sense to cut.
But he even did the same thing like 30 minutes for Byleth.
Like fucking 3 years old. Like,
yeah, no, not even at the time he was only like half a year.
There we go.
Yeah.
Jesus God, Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory. Oh God, memories in the title is a rhythm game coming to Switch, PS4, and Xbox One. Write up by Adam Bankers.
Oh, that son of a bitch got two stories in a row.
But did he get it on two different websites?
No, IGN and IGN. Oh, actually, last time was Tom Phillips. The one before that was Adam Bankers. I'll probably have to throw him a Twitter follow.
For some reason, I thought he was at a different website, which is why I was like, huh?
Well, a lot of them are freelance writers.
True, actually. I guess that makes sense. Square Enix has announced Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory, a rhythm game coming to Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One later this year. The announcement trailer shows Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory in action, and it looks to feature character designs and gameplay that is similar in form to Square Enix Final Fantasy Theater Rhythm. The Japanese trailer showcases not only Sora, Donald, and Goofy, but Riku, Kairi, Hercules, Aladdin, and other fan favorite characters from the Kingdom Hearts franchise. The Kingdom Hearts 2020 trailer has a show. Also shows a glimpse of what Square Enix is calling Kingdom Hearts series second phase, which is Kingdom Hearts 3 Remind, Kingdom Hearts Dark Road, and Kingdom Hearts Melody of Memory. There is also two empty spaces, which could be a new entry, re-releases on Nintendo Switch, next-gen ports, or really anything.
So, have you played 3 yet?
No, I still haven't played 3. I'm still not through Dream Drop Distance yet.
I don't understand. I've watched the trailer multiple times now for
of
this.
What? Of this
the
game?
Melody. Yeah. Melody of Memories. I don't understand the gameplay. I don't understand if it's just a rhythm game with Kingdom Hearts.
It's probably just a rhythm game with Kingdom Hearts characters.
In the background, though, and I don't actually control them, or if
no,
you,
I think
it's like a fusion of a game.
It's probably, to me, so like, I'm assuming this is going to be, it's just like a side project game, which is really, like it isn't canon. Like they had.
Aren't the, like they all pretty much canon?
No, there was one on the DS recoded.
Yep.
Which, like, the whole game is, like, you just doing the first game over again, mm-hmm. but, like, trying, like, but, like, through a digital memory.
Okay.
So you're trying to just piece together, like broken
data. As awful as it sounds, I guarantee you this is canon.
I don't, like.
Because even the fucking mobile game has canon stuff to it.
But, like, yeah, but, like, they might have.
That's
like
how bullshit they get with it.
They might have, like, a canon sentence. Dude, I remember the Kingdom Hearts, like, my older brother's, like fucking Wing Phone or whatever
yeah.
in 2008.
Yeah.
He had the mobile game on it. Oh, my God, I remember that thing.
Isn't that Recoded?
No. I think it led.
Because Recoded, I thought, was just the DS port of the mobile game.
Yeah, I think it's what led to be Recoded.
Yeah.
But like the DS port, they fleshed it out.
Oh, okay.
Like a lot, and like they gave it like a little bit of story for the game. But like the very ending of the game is like 2 seconds of something that's actually canon.
See, that's bullshit. That's so dumb.
The whole game is nothing until the very last like 2 seconds.
Which to me seems the whole thing's canon. How do you make part of a story canon and part of the story not canon?
Because like it technically like. Because in that game, it doesn't actually technically happen.
But it does in the sense that it might not have affected the timeline, but it's happening, and then something canon happens.
I know it's like just like a blip.
Yeah, that's what I. But that's my problem. I guarantee you that's gonna fucking happen with this too.
But then again, yeah, it's Kingdom Hearts, man. Anything goes. Kingdom Hearts.
That's the biggest problem with Kingdom Hearts. Anything goes.
Dude, like Kingdom Hearts one, like Chain of Memories, and two, like it followed in a good straight line. Like, you know, it was anime bullshit, but like it followed in a straight line. And then they
swear to God, if this leads into the show.
Imagine.
That's the bullshit they would do.
Imagine they changed the show into Kingdom Hearts the Musical.
Don't, because first off, High School Musical, the musical slaps. That show goes so hard for no reason.
You just don't want to enjoy Kingdom Hearts the Musical. You know what I mean?
If it's good, I would love to. a lot of the funny thing is they announced it for like every platform, right?
Yeah.
All of the headlines, if you look up for the story, it just says Kingdom Hearts is coming to the Nintendo Switch.
I know, everyone's...
That's the power of the Switch. The other thing it showed was online battle mode. So one player played as Sora and another played as Riku. I didn't understand if they were working together or fighting each other. Because they call it battle mode.
Yeah, so I'm assuming you're working against each other.
But is it like more like Guitar Hero?
Probably. In Kingdom Hearts 2, there's a boss you have to fight him with music.
Mm.
And then there are certain levels in both games, in both the original games, where you had to use music to fight people. The Little Mermaid level in Kingdom Hearts 2 is just music. It's just like button memorization, quick time scenes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
To music.
And then at the end of the trailer, like it said, they showed off two empty spots saying there's going to be two new announcements for this phase 2 or whatever.
Well, it's definitely way too early to announce a real game.
Yeah. Well, it took them like 15 years to announce
so
3.
So like you and I are going to be 50 years old.
We're never going to guess it. Were you ever going to guess Melody of Memories, a goddamn rhythm game?
Fuck no.
That I promise you is going
to
be
canon.
Dude,
honestly, I wasn't even thinking they were going to have anything like ready to even announce yet. Because like, why?
Yeah. Persona 4 Golden set out is out on Steam from Megan Farrakhanovich. Persona Good 4 job. Golden, I say it super fast, no one can correct you. Persona 4 Golden, the enhanced version of Persona 4 for the PlayStation Vita, is launching for PC via Steam. The game is available as a standard version for $19.99 or deluxe edition, which includes the digital soundtrack and art book, for $24.99. Just buy the standard edition and then illegally download those two things. Don't be an idiot. The game's launch on PC is a first for the mainline Persona series, which has previously been restricted to PlayStation platforms. Plus, Persona 4 Golden, released in 2012, follows a group of small-town teens investigating a series of murders. Golden adds new characters, dungeons, and more from the original game. It's one of the series' most highly praised game. It's also inspired several spinoffs, including Persona 4 Arena and Persona 4 Dancing All Night. That's the one I want to get into.
How does that come off of a game that's about investigating murder?
Dude, they have so many of these dancing games, it's ridiculous. The last game in the series, Persona 5, recently had its own enhanced edition with Persona 5 Royal. So far, spinoff games have launched for the Nintendo 3DS and PlayStation 4 and Vita and Switch now, technically. So, Persona 4 Golden has been stuck on the Vita forever. People have been screaming because it's one of those things where it's like, oh, you play Persona 5, but Persona 4 Golden is actually the best one in the series.
Yeah.
Whatever. I don't care what you want, you fucking nerd. But let me ask, why does Atlus hate money? They could put this on every goddamn console and make a bajillion dollars.
Dude, I don't know why they just don't re-release the whole fucking series.
That's what I'm saying. Like, even the older ones. There has to be something with Sony.
I don't want to just jump into Persona 5 and then have to work my way back. I want to play Persona 1.
Luckily, I don't think they actually tie into each other at all.
No, and that's fine, but I want to just take my time with each one. But like,
I don't. They're all like 100-hour games.
Well, you know what I mean. Like in a perfect
world. In a perfect world, yeah, I agree with you.
Where I had time.
Yeah. Just let me play Persona 5. That's all. I don't want to buy a PS4. Let me play Persona 5, okay? Atlus, I will give you $120 for this game.
Buddy, you're gonna enjoy the fucking shit out of Persona 4, okay?
Persona 5 Scramble or Scrabble or whatever the hell it's called is coming to the Nintendo Switch. I'm going to get it.
Just to get a glimpse of what is Persona 5.
And apparently, 5. Like, people thought it was a spinoff, but it's actually a direct sequel to Persona 5.
Oh, God.
So I'm going to not have any clue what's going on. I don't care. Give me Persona 5, man. Come on. There has to be...
Dude, you have a PS4.
I know, but I don't want to plug it in and
fucking
find it.
Boot it
I have
up,
to
you
buy
bitch.
Another controller. The problem is the controller's broken.
I had a buddy who like desperately needs a PS4, and you're like, I'm not going to sell
it. I'm not going to sell it. You never know what's going to happen. We're in quarantine.
So you don't want to plug it in, but you never know what's going to happen.
I don't want to plug it in. I also don't want to sell it in case, you know, dark days come to the kingdom, okay?
What the day when you're like, oh, man, I got to play Persona 5 or the guy, I got to play.
The squad hits me up. It says, we're hitting that Apex Legends or we're hitting Fortnite.
And you're going to say, I'm a proud Nintendo Switch player.
No, because what do I mean? It's like, that, I'm better off pulling out my fucking iPhone and playing with them on that. No, I just bring these games to even... There has, like, Atlas and Sony.
When's the last time you played Apex Legends or Fortnite?
I've never played Apex Legends.
Okay, when's the last time you played
Fortnite? Fortnite, I play every couple weeks. I still play with the boys,
but
yeah.
Like, but, like, you plug in the PS4 for it?
No, I have the Xbox One.
So there we fucking go.
But that's what I'm saying. So what happens if the Xbox One shits the bed and I got to go to the PS4?
Knowing you, you'll just buy another Xbox One.
No. Again, just like you said, bring the other ones to all the consoles. Like, even if you have a deal.
There is no reason to not.
I'm telling you, Atlas hates money. What did I get instead of Persona? I got that Shin Megami Tensei Fire Emblem crossover with the Mirage Tokyo Sessions where I was a diva fighting these things. Just give me Persona, man.
I just want to play Persona.
I even enjoyed the hell out of that game.
But like, plus, it's not fair just seeing everybody else play it.
No, I have so much FOMO for video games. It's the only thing I have FOMO for. I've never had, like, real-life FOMO. The most FOMO I've ever experienced in my life is every time I don't go into Animal Crossing for the day. I'm like, what are my islanders doing today? Because it's not with me, those fuckers. That's, like, the only thing.
Oh, man. Warner Brothers to host DC Fandom virtual experience featuring talent from DC Multiverse films, TV, and comics by Dino Ray Ramos on Deadline.com.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a real name, but that's what he was credited as. Man.
Fucking Dino Ray, that's badass.
It is, I'll give him that.
Warner Bros. Has set a mega 24-hour immersive virtual fan experience that will feature anything and everything from the DC Multiverse, and it's all free. The confab is set to kick off on August 22nd at 10 a.m. Pacific time and will reach fans on all seven continents. Really? All seven of them? Do we have people on Antarctica? The event will feature a merging of all of your favorite DC superheroes and supervillains from the past and present and will be available at DCFandom.com for 24-hour time frame. Fans will be treated to highly anticipated announcements, exclusive footage, and the latest news from WB Games, film, and TV before they get sold, and comics. It's
true.
It's an opportunity to hear from the cast and creators from its vast library of DC films and TV series, including Aquaman, The Batman, Batwoman, Black Adam, Black Lightning, DC's Superhero Girls, DC Legend of Tomorrow, DC Stargirl, Doom Patrol, The Flash, Harley Quinn.
I would have skipped a bunch of these names. I'm surprised you're reading them all.
I'm
they're
guy.
All there, all right?
Yeah, everyone you ever want is there.
And more. Teen Titans Go will be there. Are you happy?
And Young Justice, Outsiders. On top of that, fans will have the chance to hear more about the much-talked-about Snyder Cut of Justice League, which will drop on HBO Max in 2021, as well as the forthcoming Wonder Woman in 1984, which is set to open in theaters October 2nd.
Wow.
Fans will also get access to localized events featuring their faces and voices from countries around the world in their local language.
So, this is a super important event. If they don't have anything exciting to announce at this, just
drop DC.
Wrap the book on fucking DC Universe. I swear to God. I've already seen The Rock teasing we'll see his Black Adam film there.
But, like, I want that.
I do. I 100% agree with you, but I'm saying it better look good.
I know.
It better look good. It better look interesting. They need to have announcements that are going to be like, because really, I want to see the new Batman. I want to see what Robert Pattinson looks like. I want to see something. Yeah. I understand they had to shut down filming, but they got to have something to tease the fans.
They can definitely spare a scene.
Yeah. They've already started teasing the new Justice League trailer.
Yeah.
It looks way better. It looks more interesting than that pile of shit that we watched. And for a while, I defended that film. I actually just rewatched it again because it was on.
Yeah, but you were like, eh.
I was like, you know what? I gave this film too much credit. way too much credit. I want to see the Batman. They better show something of that. I'm sorry. Yep. I need to see something of that by now.
Yep.
And I want to see more of the Suicide Squad. James Gunn's Suicide Squad.
Yeah.
He keeps teasing that we'll get to see John Cena's character. So show me.
John Cena's getting a character?
Oh, John Cena's getting a fucking character.
Dude, that's going to be so hard to fucking film him. How do we...
How do you see him, right? What if he's the Invisible Man, you idiot?
Yeah, shit, man!
That'll save so much money.
Yo, that... You know, thinking back, why didn't they cast him in Deadpool for fucking instead of having Brad Pitt?
Oh, Brad Pitt.
They should have just made John Cena. They wouldn't have had to use any effects.
John Cena probably cost more than Brad Pitt. I couldn't even get through that without a straight face. Then no, this is such a crucial event. They better I would like to see. There's going to be a bunch of announcements that diehard DC fans are going to care about that we're not going to give a shit about. Like their TV universe, from my understanding, crushes it.
It's crushing it. It's the best thing they've got going on.
Yeah. And apparently, like, Marvel can't really figure out the TV universe, I feel like.
They stumbled into it, and then somehow they dropped the ball.
Yeah. And the animated series, like, people love it. Teen Titans is going to be there. They better have a new announcement for Teen Titans.
I just want the original Teen Titans.
That's what I'm saying, because they just teased it at the end of Teen Titans Go.
That show is so fucking good.
Yeah, it is.
And it ages so well.
It does. No, I agree.
The animation still looks good.
I have to say, I have been watching Teen Titans Go a little bit here and there.
Is it honestly funny?
It is funny. It pisses me off, but it's funny.
But it's funny. Isn't it like just the same like jokes over and over again? Like,
no.
Where like Robin just picking fun of the fact that he's like, I'm the cool boy who has to look cool all the time.
No, it's so self-aware.
Is it?
Yeah, that's what makes it funny. They constantly are like self-aware and breaking the fourth wall. It's better than
is Beast Boy hilarious?
Yeah, and they play into the fact that him and Raven have something going on.
Who?
Beast Boy and Raven.
Oh, okay. I thought you said Robin. I was like, what?
No. They obviously make it clear that Robin is in love with Starfire.
Did you hear that?
No. Don't do this.
Okay. I just heard a thud.
Not in your haunted house. Don't do this. Crash Bandicoot 4 leaks ahead of the reported reveal next week. From Eric Abin on SlashGear.com, Activision has already been teasing a Crash-themed announcement, but it seems that the Taiwan Digital Game Rating Committee has spilled the beans a bit early. As spotted by Gamatsu, the committee has rated the game for PlayStation 4 and Xbox One. So it looks like this new game will be a time-traveling adventure, with its title serving as a reference to both that and the fact that we haven't seen a proper Crash Bandicoot sequel in a number of years. Toys for Bob, which handled the development duties on the recent Spyro Reignited trilogy, will be acting as developer on this game as well. I love the name of this game.
It's About Time.
It's so self-aware. I believe this even more due to the fact that they leaked the cover art with it.
Yeah.
Apparently it was going to get revealed Monday anyways next week. But still, it's good to know that it's coming. Like you said, when do you think the last Crash Bandicoot, like, numbered? You're never going to guess this.
Like 2000?
1998.
Really?
That was Crash
3?
Crash 3. There have been other games since.
Yeah, but like.
That was the actual Crash 3 release date. 1998.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, 22 years. It's about damn time, right?
Yeah, about damn time.
Are you excited for this?
Yeah, honestly, because, like, I really, like, me and her both really got into the, like, the first, like, so, like, most of the trilogy. So, like, it was fun.
This is going to be super exciting to my girlfriend and then super disappointing when she finds out it doesn't come to the Nintendo Switch because that's all she has.
You just turned her into another Nintendo fanboy.
I didn't. I got her whatever she wanted. That was what she wanted.
Yeah, but
and then,
all she wanted was this because what you kept showing her, you were playing the whole time.
No, she plays games I don't have.
No, but I'm saying, like, she got so used to playing the Switch. She was like, well, I guess I got to start with the Switch.
The only thing that she's become because of me is, like, an Animal Crossing diehard.
You fucking asshole.
To the point that she knows more than I do now. Like, our life has been nothing in this quarantine but Animal Crossing and Animal Crossing TikToks.
Like, yeah, honestly, who even cares about your real finances? Like, you just need those bell prices.
Yeah, the bells. Those turnips. Oh, we get hard for the turnips, all right? Like, when we have the good prices, the nips get hard, dude. When you're making money, I've made millions of bells on a certain transitions. I swear to God.
Why is it easier to make money in this game than it is in real life, man?
Because once you have a ton of money, it's easy to make more money, I guess. And we just never had a ton of money. All right, so that's it with the news. I have one opinion piece I wanted to talk to you about.
Okay.
So this was, like, a big story in the gaming community. It was kind of like an argument between a person I've never heard of before until this happened, Jeff Quintana. But the other one is a very known games journalist, Jason Schreier.
Okay.
He does fantastic work. He's honestly a goddamn genius. Like, I know I made it when he starts to write a hit piece about me, about the harsh work, like, area I provide for us. No, seriously. Like, he just, like, he's always like, oh, this is why Crunch is bad, or this is this company fucked up because of this. But it has broken people into, like, Team Jeff or Team Jason online. So here's a little of the backstory, all right? So this all started when Jason Schreier took a screenshot of Jeff Quintana's tweet. Jeff Quintana tweeted out this: The Last of Us Part 2 is a masterpiece of a video game narrative. Nothing else even comes close. The story is brutal, challenging, bold, and almost never fun. It is harrowing, forcing the player to confront violence in a way video games never do. In a medium where everything is John Wick, The Last of Us Part 2 is Schindler's List. And just like that film, there were times when I wasn't sure if I could keep going. It is a relentless emotional assault that I expect will force even the most jaded gamer to feel empathy. So again, he tweeted that, but this all started.
What? I remember I saw you retweet that tweet, and you were like, "I don't think he's I don't think he's saying what like people took that out of context for."
So but. Well, this is what Jason Schreier said: "Hyperbole is fun and all, but if you're thinking about comparing the new zombie video game to a movie about the Holocaust, maybe hit the brakes." So. Again, Jason is kind of like still right here where he's saying he's comparing.
Yeah.
But I don't think he was comparing. Let me get to the.
Yeah.
So Jeff replies to him saying, "Hey, man, you know me. What is this subtweeting? Why not engage with me? Why can I not compare two pieces of art? My comparison has nothing to do with the Holocaust. I am talking how a piece of art starring Liam Neeson moved me. I'm talking about the intentions as a work of art." And then Jason replied to him saying, "I screen cap so people wouldn't bombard your mentions. But like I said, my advice is to think twice before making comparisons like this, as quite a few people have already told you." The problem is Jason Schreier with me. I always have a problem with Jason Schreier because he does this thing, because he has hundreds of thousands of followers. Yeah. He does this thing where he'll post their tweet. Yeah. So he can say, "Oh, well, I didn't mention him." So it's so easy to search this guy and find him.
Yeah, all you have to do
still put his photo and name in it.
Yeah, it's not like you blur it out.
But he's also like, he riles people up to send people to get mad at.
Yeah.
And then plays the, like, "I'm the victim because I'm getting hate for this thing I did."
Yeah.
He does it constantly to me, and that always pisses me off about
him. Because he's a genius, and you're like, why can't you just be nice?
No, I think he still does, like, great work, no, but I think he does shitty things.
Why can't you just be nice and be a genius?
Well, I don't fully agree with him. Do you think, like, his comparison was wrong? No. That's what I wanted to know.
No, I don't think it's wrong, because it's not like he said he was.
So that's what he's trying to build this narrative of.
He's talking. No, I know. He's just taking that dumb mob mentality and sending it out to
That's exactly what he does constantly.
Because what Jeff said was
the emotional destruction of a movie.
Yep.
It's about a terrible event in history.
But he's not comparing the two. He's comparing the emotions he's felt from the two pieces of art.
Exactly. If he was talking about the actual event, he probably would have said the actual event. He would have said the Holocaust.
Right.
But he didn't say that. He stopped it halfway through and said a movie. Like,
yeah.
He said, in a Last of Us comparison, you need something that's emotionally gritty and just kicks the shit out of you.
Right.
Schindler's List is probably one of those movies. So like, to just mob him.
Yeah, and he does this constantly. I swear.
Directly and tries to play it off as indirectly.
Right.
That's fucked up, man.
Like, all right, if you really thought that, right, you could have blocked his name out of the screenshot. You could have, you know. If it really affected you?
You could have just tweeted, "Man, one of my colleagues is a fucking dick," and then just block the guy.
Or, I don't know, you, like he said, you know me. Why not message him and be like, "I was upset about this because..."
Yeah, like, you know, do like one colleague, one acquaintance to another, man. Like, what the fuck?
Yeah, and Jason Schreier...
Be a man about it?
There are a lot of people who have, like, basically tweeted out, like, Team Jeff... And he's just, like, kind of going on a blocking spree of people. Like, even, like, people he's, like, knows or whatnot. Again, this is a dude who, days before this and got upset about this tweet, when Michael Jordan had – Jason Schreier did this.
Yep.
When days before this, he's getting mad about this tweet. Michael Jordan announces that he was donating $100 million to Black Lives Matter.
Yeah.
You know what Jason Schreier does? Quote tweets that, goes – "Oh, maybe Jordan got confused and bet $100 million on black." Making fun of his gambling addiction and the thing that he's doing.
Like, that's...
And then he deleted it like hours later because it obviously got a lot of backlash. And people brought that up to him, and he's like, "Well, I realized it was wrong, so I deleted it." Shut the fuck up, dude.
Like that to me, it was just as dumb as Ari Shaffer when he was like, "I'm glad Kobe's dead."
Yeah.
Like, why would you say that?
Yeah, it's just dumb shit. And like,
you're entitled to think whatever you want. You do not have to spew that shit, one, out of your mouth, and two, onto the fucking internet.
Oh, yeah. Well, you're allowed to. It's the consequences. You're going to get consequences. That was a dumb fucking thing to say.
You know, and to be honest, and like, it's something I talked to my girlfriend about earlier. Like, people are like, now, because of all what's going on, all you hear people say, "Well, we can't have freedom of speech anymore." Freedom of speech is saying.
No, people don't understand what that means.
You can say whatever you want and not get jailed for it.
Mm-hmm.
That does not mean there is not repercussions.
Yeah, yeah.
To what you say.
Well, there are certain things you still can't say that aren't, like, I can't say I'd beat the shit out of you. That's not freedom of speech. Anytime that it encroaches on your safety it's not what people think it means.
Like, if you're admitting a crime.
It's not what people think it means. So are we Team Jeff?
We're fucking Team Jeff all team the way.
And I've never heard of this guy. I tried apparently he's a freelance writer, but he's also an actor.
Jeff, if you want to freelance write for our podcast, I would love to give you the business.
Anything to put it on.
If he wants to interview how two small town guys got together and created this wonderful piece of audio engineering, then you know what? That's a story he should share with the world.
Please stop saying that. You're giving me anxiety. Something's going to fuck up with the audio every time we talk about great
My
audio.
Mic's been off the whole time.
The switch is going to be broken on this one. All right, let's take another short break and we'll come back with our big discussion topic. All right, and we're back with our big discussion topic of the week. This week, I wanted to talk to you. I made it the podcast poll. We've talked about all these events lately. What do you think about E3 never coming back? Is it needed?
I wouldn't miss it, man.
You wouldn't miss it?
I don't, like, I know it's a big, you know, it was like an event thing that we look forward to.
I look forward to it every year.
But, like, we survived without it, and, like, we're having a good time.
Are we?
I think.
It's so annoying finding the information at times because it's on like 9 different websites.
Well, yeah, like if they could just all come together and was like, how about instead of us trying to do this venture 9 different ways, we just kind of collaborate?
Summer of Gaming Fest, GameSpots, whatever they called it.
The
IGN.
Mega Game Party. Like, if we could just have like a couple of guys who were like, all right, let's take one for the team and like just kind of do this collaboratively, then it would totally be easier to get all this information. But, but still, you have 9 different sources of where you can get this stuff.
Right. I agree. The thing is, I miss, it's always, it's totally that like kid on Christmas feeling when it's E3 week where I'm
I know.
All right,
know
this day
mean.
I know is this. This day I know is that. But I agree in the sense that like everyone always talks about it and it's something I never think of. Apparently it cost all of these game companies like millions of dollars.
Yeah.
Like ridiculous amounts of like
stuff that could be going towards their projects.
Yeah, but it's even to the point where like they barely even recoup the money that they spend at E3 for this shit.
Why
waste that money here?
As a business venture, why would you do that?
They've already like confirmed there's an E3 for next year.
Really?
Yeah, like as soon as this was over, they already like put the date for the next E3. So they're going to try.
They're just being hopeful.
Yeah, is it dead? Probably.
Like 6 months from now, they'll be like, well, you know, we put the knife finally in E3's back and it's dead.
Everyone keeps telling me, no, we don't need a real E3 event. We need an online event. But I'm just like, yo, to me, this proves we need some type of event.
No, we you're right. Like, we do, like, we need something.
They do have like PAX East, PAX West, and all these other kind of conventions.
Like, no, have smaller conventions where you get like a few select demos and like things like that. But like the big grand information can totally just be done.
Oh, I love the grandiose event. Like Nintendo's E3 event, like they always decorate the fucking place up. It would have been crazy to have new console reveals at E3. Think about it. Technically, E3 would be over. Right now, we would know so much more about the PS5. The Xbox Series X and had a Nintendo Direct.
We might even know what the price is going to be.
That's what I'm saying. But so if they get rid of E3, to me, the biggest thing they need to work on is coordination.
Yes.
If they could,
I agree.
Stop, because this is being stretched out over 3 months now.
It does not need to be a summer like the event.
Yeah, that's really what I hate.
It really can be condensed into a week.
Yep. A week or 1 month. Even if you did it 1 month, so you're not stepping on each other's toes the entire week, That's fine.
Have like a few teams go 1 week, you know, a few teams go next week.
Yes.
Because like even though some of the information might be similar to what you've had before, you got new guys talking, you know, like new perspectives on it,
mm-hmm.
which is good for you know people getting different opinions and then comparing to what other people said, to,
right?
You know, to kind of form a very calculated opinion.
Yep.
Based on other things what you've heard, rather than hearing it all from one guy. And then hearing the same exact thing from another guy?
Right. And to be fair, a lot of these online events, too, were, you know, E3 was canceled probably 2 months ago, three months ago. I forget. Whatever. So only a few months before the event was supposed to. So they probably had E3 scheduled with, like, a plan. And now it's kind of like...
They had a scramble, and they were like, hey, like, we gotta do something fast.
If you know that it's an E3 month online event, I'm sure they can...
Yeah.
Kind of anchor something better down.
Well, but, you know,
work on a better game plan.
At this rate, instead of worrying about E3, the live event next mm-hmm. year, worry about just even maybe breaking it down into like every 6 months you have something.
So that's kind of like, so Nintendo started that with the directs and people call them idiots. And you've kind of seen a lot of companies are moving into that direction now. To the point where it's like, yeah, I think you have to say E3 is dying every year.
Yeah.
I mean, doxing all the reporters 1 year, that fucked them so hard. No one's happy with E3 ever now.
Yeah.
It's also, they always call it like con sickness because every time you go, you get sick apparently.
Really?
Yeah, because think about how many, everyone's just touching everything. It's
it's just the breeding ground of disease.
Yep. Yeah, E3's dying. How much longer do you think E3 really has?
Like the live event?
Yeah.
Maybe 2 years.
Two years? I'm with you on that. 2 years maybe. Tops. Unless they completely, this live event, rejuvenize it and make it something completely different.
To the point where...
And it evolves it into something new.
You know, if they come out and they're like, you can't get fucking rid of me. And like, you know, it's just an explosion of kick-ass technology. Then you know what? Maybe.
It's like Jordan Belfort in... Wolf of Wall Street.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I'm not fucking leaving.
They want to take me out. They can't fucking do it.
Yeah.
Like if he comes out like that, and you know, and like
all you'd have to make it almost like an online or a video game celebration.
When you're like Jordan Belfort, I was like, who is that? I know that name. And then I was like, yeah, there we go.
The Wolf of Wall. I'll pull it out, man. I'll pull out any reference.
So movie. You show me check voucher. It says 10,000 in 1 month. I'll quit my fucking job right now.
So for this whole week, probably before today, was on the side. No, we need an E3.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, honestly, if we replace it with the online event, the only thing we just need to work on the online event. I can't say like, no to something that's only in year one.
Yeah. But like I know you said like, you know, the back alley deals is something they've
But they still have the smaller cons like we were talking about.
You can always make deals there.
Yeah.
The demos, just make us.
I wish, man. I wish. Put them online for everyone to play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like,
put them online for everyone to play. At this point, smaller content creators are worth so much more than one big content creator. It's ridiculous.
It's not about
the more eyes you can get on it is better than just like one big.
And let's be real. Every indie, like, there's so many good indie titles now that are like just blowing up. They're
ridiculous. Yep. Yeah. Yep. I'm with you. I think next year is going to be E3 physical, like live event, same spot it always is. I think the fallout was, because I still think people next year are going to be scared of Corona.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be something that's going to affect us probably for 2 or 3 more years.
Yep.
Like, unless there's a genuine vaccine that comes quickly and mm-hmm. like it's not one of those like, you know, like 4 or 5 months after the vaccines are all kind of working.
Before
we can see some genuine change, but.
That's what. So even next year, I would advise they do it online.
Yeah, they really should. Why rush back into physical like hoarding grounds of people?
Technically, this year it's not even like E3 online. They just canceled it. Everyone else is doing their own thing.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe it is more of they just need to schedule it and do their E3 thing online. And even say you have the main show online,
they could just they should just grab those other guys and have them work like actually work it. For them, like for E3, you know what I mean? Have them cover certain sections of the entire event.
So what I'm thinking is put it online, kind of like this, spread it out over like the month, like you were saying, or something, but at a different location, invite only to just like bigger games journalist for those game demos that you're probably not going to, because there are like alpha gameplay that people get to try out at these E3s that you're not going to put online.
No.
But you could bring games journalists in to play it and not have this big, like, open to the public event.
Yeah.
So at least when they show the trailer or whatever, these games journalists can have their write-up ready for it at the same time. That's what I'm thinking it needs to happen now. I think whoever runs E3 in 2 years is just going to be gone.
Yep.
And it's just going to be smaller cons that pick up. I think Nintendo's Direct is going to be adapted by Microsoft and Sony by that point. They won't need anything like this.
Yeah. Does Microsoft have something that's like the State of Play or Direct?
They call it like State of Play or no, that's...
That's Sony.
Yeah, Microsoft. It's like Microsoft Inside Xbox.
Is that what it's called?
Yeah, Microsoft Direct event. I'm pretty sure it's Inside Xbox. Yeah, Inside Xbox.
Inside Xbox.
Yeah, which isn't obviously the best name.
No, definitely needs some work.
Sony State of Play, like even technically their last one was in a State of Play because it was a, what do they call it? Future of Gaming event. The Future of Gaming.
Yeah.
Which to me doesn't make sense because anytime a new game comes out, that's the future of gaming.
Yeah, exactly. It's so, new. It's the future.
Yep.
The future is now, old man.
But yeah, I think this is one of the very few times where we have the same idea.
I know. It's weird.
I don't like it, but whatever. I'll argue with something
else.
We're
friends. We've been friends a long time. Sometimes we get... Sometimes
speak
we,
for yourself. Speak for yourself. Ooh. You want to sign us out?
Thanks, everyone, for listening. Please follow us on Twitter, at HOPodcastGags and at HOPodcastTA. We appreciate the listens. We appreciate any reviews you want to leave at Apple Podcasts or Podchaser. You know?
Yes, sir.
We still don't know what it does, but hey.
Here's what you need to do. If you made it this far into the podcast, you need to tweet at me or TA at AHM Podcast Gags and at AHM Podcast TA and be like, I can't believe you said that in the last episode. And when people are like, oh my God, what do they say? We're all going to retweet it.
I would, please. And like when people are like calling us assholes.
Yeah.
Like without actually checking out the episode.
And then when they listen, get to this point and realize we all fucking got them together.
Ha ha. Ha ha ha. Thanks, everyone.